to believe that the end is drawing near by the things that I see happening all around me. To the wickedness of man, this world is coming down with its counterfeit securities that surround me. And when I lift my eyes to you in the visions of the night, Lord, you show me things that trouble and disturb me. People scattered in the streets like a waste of stones and ruins of Jerusalem that's fallen to the enemy. Who can endure in the day of the Lord his righteous indignation? Who can stand when the fire rains down from his holy habitation? In the Lord our God we must put our trust and repent of our transgressions. Into the rock and hide in the dust till he lays low all oppression. In the day of the Lord. Lord, you tell me you've been hurt by our adulterous hearts, by the eyes that play the harlot for the idols. Now we each have gone our way, drinking waters of the Nile that pollute our minds with lies not from your Bible. And the prophet and the priest who live in luxury and ease have no concern for brokenness or mourning. They see visions of their own, saying peace throughout this land. But I say, woe to me, the night comes with the morning. Who can endure in the day of the Lord his righteous indignation? Who can stand when the fire rains down from his holy habitation? The Lord our God, we must put our trust and repent of our transgressions. Into the rock and hide in the dust till he lays low all oppression. In the day of the Lord his righteous indignation, who can stand when the fire rains down from his holy habitation? In the Lord our God we must put our trust and repent of our transgressions. Into the rock and hide in the dust till he lays low all oppression. Open the ears of the righteous one, desist from your own pleasures. Look to the Lord as the darkness comes, for the thief is seeking treasures. The serpent bites with the sting of death, the wicked in derision. And the east wind blows with the wielding sword in the valley of the vision. And the watchman stands in the midnight hour, stationed on the rampart, to seek the Lord by the Spirit's power and to learn what his commands are. The vision hastens toward its goal, with Jesus Christ returning. Who can endure in the day of the Lord when his holy fire is burning in the day of the Lord? In the day of the Lord? In the day of the Lord?
Seems like it's falling apart. Who will stand? Is there a saint out there today that's going to stand? Is there a believer in Jesus that's going to, having done all, keep on standing in the Lord and the power of his might? Praise the Lord. I believe by the grace of God I'm going to stand. Amen. How about you? We're going to stand when all darkness seems to come in like a flood. The Lord God Almighty raise up a standard for on our behalf against the enemy. Praise God. And we will prevail against the powers of darkness. Yes, praise the Lord. It's good to be back with you all. This is Pastor John Kyle. I want to welcome everybody to Deliverance Today broadcast. And, wow, I'm just glad to be back. Been gone for a number of days now. Was out of the country. Didn't have email access there for a while either. So it's like really something different when you don't have email access. When you don't have computer access, right? But anyway, yeah, I'm glad to be back, and Jesus is Lord, and we believe that we have a good broadcast for you tonight, a word from heaven that will bless you and encourage you and help you to walk on in Jesus. And I believe that it is a walk of faith and that we must be his faithful servant even into the very end. I want to give you a little bit of news, though, before we get into the word of God this evening. But we'll have some news and then we'll go to the Word, and then we'll take some calls and do some deliverance and just have a good time here. Man, there's a new video game out called Lucius. You may have heard of it. Video game where you play the six-year-old boy who was the son of Satan. It's by Shiver Games Corporation, whatever. And he killed all his household in the game. And in the game, he was born on June 6, 1966. He's a gifted child with supernatural powers, which are akin to the powers of the Antichrist. So, yeah, what are people playing today? What kind of stuff are they putting out there? Oh, my, for people to indulge in their living rooms or bedrooms or whatever. If you want to listen in, the number 656-383-0134, 656-383-0134. We welcome you, those who are listening by phone. Obama gladly is going to meet with this Southern Baptist convention pastor who embraced homosexuality after his son comes out of the closet. Whoa, well, so Southern Baptists are generally supposed to be against homosexuality. Well, now, but it gets kind of personal when your own son becomes one. Does that mean now you're going to embrace it too just because a family member embraces it? Well, no, don't think so. Though the whole world around you chooses to go to hell, you don't have to go there. Though the whole world around you chooses to live in sin, you don't have to live in sin. You've been redeemed out of darkness. So why would you act like somebody who isn't redeemed out of darkness? Why would you want to join with the house of evil? Oh, my. The Moravians have voted to ordain homosexuals now. The denomination is called the Moravian. The Presbyterians voted to marry homosexuals. And the United Church of Christ ordain and support homosexuality. And the Affirming Pentecostal denomination, church, it's called the Affirming Pentecostal Church International, which is a oneness apostolic church. It's an affirming denomination, they say. They affirm homosexuality. They do not believe that homosexuality is sinful or wrong or transgender is evil or wrong in any way, shape, or form. And they also believe that you must be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So I wonder what tongue they're talking in. Well, yeah. And they believe in being baptized only, of course, in Jesus' name, like traditional apostolic United Pentecostal groups do. But this is an affirming Pentecostal Church International. A newer denomination started in 2010, but they have quite a list of churches in the United States and throughout the world. I was looking at their website and noticed they have a lot of churches. But I guess it's popular nowadays to affirm those people, affirm them. Well, you know, I'm going to just lift up and glorify the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. That's who I'm going to affirm. That's who I'm going to magnify in my life. I don't know about you, but that's where I stand and will keep standing no matter what happens. Here's some more news. The House of One is being built in Germany, the world's first church, mosque, and synagogue all in one, called the House of One. So they're supposedly a Protestant church. In fact, the Protestant church, was the Protestant pastor supposedly is the one who's encouraged the other two to join up with him. And, of course, they did. We have a Muslim church there and a Jewish synagogue all in one. It's called the House of One. being built right now, Germany. Wow, what a strange thing. Going to house all three. And so, well, that's ecumenicalism. I tell you, that's the one world religion all together in one. What's going on here? What kind of stuff is this today? And here the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C. has offered its pulpit for the first time to an openly gay pastor. Oh, actually gay and pastor don't go together, I don't think. They're not supposed to go together, are they? Because the pastor is one of the fivefold ministry that God has called to minister to his church, and Jesus and God says no to homosexuality. In Romans chapter 1, you read it, it says that that's not that sin, that's wrong. He said it. God said it. Read your Bible. I guess people today quit reading the Bible, though. Because if you quit reading the Bible, then anything goes. Or if you use a marked version, which a lot of people do too, they use a version with a lot of it marked out, right? So they have marked versions of the Bible. And they don't believe what the Word of God says, or they will twist it and change it and make it say whatever they want it to say. Lord, have mercy. So gay and pastor don't go together. But it's Reverend Cameron Partridge of the Episcopal Church is the so-called pastor that the National Cathedral has offered its pulpit to. Oh, I guess it's in celebration, from what they say, in celebration of the gay month or gay something. Ah, Lord, help us. Pope Francis says that church is essential for faith. There are no free agents, he said. The Pope described as dangerous the temptation to believe that one can have a direct, personal, immediate relationship with Jesus Christ without communion and the mediation of the church. Well, okay, so in other words, a person really can't have a relationship with Jesus apart from the universal church of Catholicism is basically what he's saying here. And you really don't have proper communion either without that. In other words, I cannot sit in my home, get out a little grape juice and a wafer, and receive communion before the Lord, because that is dangerous. Well, yeah, it's dangerous to the devil, dangerous to sickness and disease and demons of darkness. Yeah, it's dangerous, all right. But no wonder the Pope is against it, because if the Pope is against it, then God is probably for it, all right, and it's probably the right thing to do. Oh, well, not to comment too much on that. Next one, news. On June 24th, the invited guests met at St. Francis's private residence and listened to some of these guests, and I don't know whether these guests are embracing Catholicism or what, but John and Carol Arnott from the Toronto Church, where the so-called Toronto Blessing took place, and Kenneth Copeland and James Robinson. There's a world church in ecumenicalism already here? What's going on here? Why has this become common now for Protestants to go and join themselves to the Pope? Something's going on here, and it's not probably a good thing. It's probably compromise in the church today, which, of course, that's what we see going on. There's a whole lot of compromise going on. There's a whole lot of compromise going on. I happened to attend the church while I was gone, and boy, I tell you, compromise is definitely taking over the land. And but this particular is a relevant church, you know, trying to be relevant. And I thought they would have a pastor. Did they have a screen? And you look at some guy on a screen, the pastor, and they have all these different campuses around the South, and including the, I don't know, I looked at the list, must be 8 to 10 cities and only one real senior pastor, and he speaks out of the one that supposedly I went to, and the one that supposedly the one that he pastors from to all the other churches, from the one I went to, and he wasn't there. He just had a message over the screen, and there's just, it's amazing. They read one scripture and that's it. And then they go into the message. Sometimes you'll get two, And if you're really blessed, you might get three scriptures read, but it's usually read out of some, well, in fact, it is almost always read out of some other version other than the authorized version. To me, again, another manifestation of compromise in the churches today, trying to be so-called relevant. Well, relevant is not what God called us to be. What God called us to be is word. He called us to walk according to his word. He called us to walk according to the scripture and to not compromise and to not change just because society changes or because the culture changes. Is that what we are supposed to do? Because the culture changes, we change, we compromise? Wow, come on now. This is so sad. So sad that we see things like this going on today, and it's becoming hard to find a fellowship church group where you can go and get something from God. It is sad today, and I don't know what to think about it except that we're living in the last days, and the Bible says that that's what's going to happen in the last days, right? And so, yeah, we have so many things going on right now. We see things, again, heating up over there in Iraq, and we see the world changing at breakneck speed. The things are happening so fast we can't keep up with it all. And so, actually, we're better off if we just keep up with Jesus, right, get full of him, and we'll get as much news as we can, because we're not to be ignorant of what's going on. We're not to put our head in the sand, because God says that we're to know the seasons and the times we live in, I believe, and that's a wise thing to do. But a lot of people don't see the need for that, and a lot of people like to bury their head in the sand and hide themselves in the four walls of a church or whatever. And a lot of people do that today. They hide themselves within the walls of a church building, and they don't ever come out. And they just, and when they're in the world, they live like the world. When they're in the church, they put on some kind of church thing. Well, did God call us to do that? No, I think he called us to make a difference and to be bold and to stay aware of things and to prepare our hearts and prepare ourselves for the times and the seasons that we live in, and they are critical times and seasons. And he does want us to have a move of his spirit in our lives. And so we want to get into that word tonight that's going to bless you and speak to your heart tonight, because our hearts need spoken to, and we need change in our lives. And hallelujah, it's time for change. You believe that? It's time for change in us. And so we're going to title the message tonight, how to keep gain ground, or securing gain ground, and making it secure, and holding what you got, and keeping what you got, and walking in what you got. And that's an important subject to cover today. So we're going to give a lot of scriptures here, and we're going to help you to understand this and embrace it and grab a hold and walk as a mighty man or a mighty woman of God, which is what you are, right? You're a mighty man, mighty woman of God. And that's what God's called out during this time that we live in, to be in the earth right now, yet not many are answering that call, unfortunately. But anyway, glad to be back. Been gone a little while, and thank Bob and Brother Bob and Sister Judith for taking the program last Friday for me while I was out of town. Appreciate them doing that. I thank God for them, and thank God for you that are listening tonight. And we appreciate all of you there, and those who will download it later. May you be blessed by this as well. And it's definitely good to be back home. Got back and certainly had to deal with some stuff when I got back. I had a flat tire on the car waiting for me. But that's all right. We got it fixed. It took a while because I had a real time getting it off. Could not hardly beat that thing off of there. But eventually it was done, and God was able to get home and drive the car home. So praise the Lord for all of that, and praise the Lord for the dear brother that let us stay with him out there where one of the places we were. Appreciate that, Brother John. I appreciate you doing that for us. Praise God. All right, so this is Pastor John Kyle, theoasisplace.org. You can email me at theoasis1@localnet.com. And if you'd like to write to us, the mailing address is Pastor John Kyle or the Oasis Church at P.O. Box 50162. That's P.O. Box 50162, Billings, Montana, 59105. That's 59105. If you're in the Billings area, we do pastor a church here, the Oasis Church, 2102 Old Hardin Road is the address of the church. And we're meeting Sundays at 10:30 a.m. Love to see you there if you could make it anytime this summer. All right, praise the Lord. We are ready to go to the Word of God. Let's go ahead and have some prayer here as we open up things to go to your Word. Hallelujah. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to share your Word today and speak to people's heart today, Father. You love them so much, and you want to have change and victory in their lives. So, Father, we just pray right now that you will speak to them through this Word and bless them, encourage them, deliver them with the ground that you have given them or the ground that they will gain in the days ahead, that they can keep what they gain in Jesus' name. And amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, yeah, how to keep gain ground. Some of you may have already lost some of the ground you've gained. Well, this will help you. And so I want to share tonight on how to keep the ground you've gained and maybe get some back that you've lost as well. You can certainly use this. And so let's take off with the rule. The rule of the kingdom of God must be established in you. This is point number one tonight. You must have the rule of the kingdom of God established in you. And so first you need to prepare you to receive this teaching. I'm going to establish some scriptural facts tonight. We'll give you some things from the Word of God to establish some scriptural facts. Let's go to 1 John 3:8. Where we will start this out and establish, because if you don't have the facts down, sometimes you don't get what's going on here. 1 John 3:8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the work of the devil. Okay, that purpose, the Son of God was manifest. Did he accomplish what he purposed to come and do and was manifested for? Yes, he did. He accomplished what he came to do, and so he did destroy the works of the devil, but that must be enforced on the devil, which we're going to talk about that in a minute. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We've been blessed with how many spiritual blessings? It says all, right? Okay, now in Ephesians 2:6, let's read another one here. We establish some facts here from the Word of God, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We've been raised up together. We've been made to sit in heavenly places. He made us to sit there. Even though we may not be aware of our place that we're sitting, we may not be aware of our position that we're in, nevertheless, he did make us to sit in heavenly places and raise us up to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Colossians 2:13. It says, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, have been quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Thank you, Jesus, all my sins are forgiven. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. I nailed the old law to the cross. And spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it, publicly, that is. So that's been done, all right? He spoiled them, and then he made a show of it, how that he has spoiled them. So here's four biblical facts that we see here. So, number one, Jesus destroyed the works of the devil. Number two, he made a public show and whipped the devil openly, publicly. And number three, all the blessings of the kingdom of heaven are ours. And number four, we are spiritually seated with Christ in the kingdom of heaven in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus right now. You say, oh, but if Jesus had defeated the devil, why do we still have to put up with him? Why is there all these problems in the world that there are today? Why do we see him seemingly winning on so many fronts today? If Jesus defeated Satan, why is he always out to get us? Why are we suffering so much? Well, it's real simple, saints. Yes, the work of Jesus is finished, and it was finished. He said it is finished, but it is done in the kingdom of heaven. or in the kingdom of God, if you will, and it must be enforced in the earth. It must be enforced in the earth in this present age that we live in to overcome the kingdom of Satan. Because, and we're going to talk a little more about explaining how come that he is seemingly so big at times in people's lives. But let's read another scripture, 1 John 5:4. I just love the word of God. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So what overcomes Satan and the world system, the God of this world? Our faith, our faith, our faith. All right? This is faith, faith, faith. Hallelujah. We overcome by faith. We enforce the victory of Jesus on the enemy by faith in our lives. See, the devil is trying to force his junk on us. Excuse me, sorry. And we are in a war because Satan is loose on the earth, and the only way to stop him is with spiritual force, spiritual weaponry, spiritual weapons. And yet most Christians are too lazy to fight and don't know how to fight, so the enemy continues to plague them with his dirty work and has the upper hand over their lives so much at a time. And this is terrible. This is sad. It's pathetic that this is going on. Christians today are suffering greatly in ways that they need not suffer. Their whole lives they've been plagued and troubled in certain areas of their life. I hear it all the time from people, stories of how they're living under curses. Generational spirits and simply demon problems of so many kinds. And yes, Satan, dark evil forces of evil have been allowed by Adam's sin and a lot of power in the earth over people. They've been allowed to have that because of Adam's sin. But Jesus died on the cross to take back what the devil stole from mankind, and he did it. So it's an established fact now that we can live with the same authority of the first Adam, right? With everything being under dominion to us, all right? We can live that way, but most people aren't doing it. But it's still an established fact that you can do it, and God bought it. Jesus bought it for us on the cross, bought it for you. He bought it for you so you can live free, so you can live in liberty, so you can walk in a new level of life that the Old Testament saints did not live in, okay? And so he'll even make a Christian's life miserable until they take up authority over the enemy and use it. Until they do so, they will be troubled. They will be harassed by darkness. And if people would just believe God's word and begin to act on God's word, they would not suffer as much as they do. And yet we see the church today in so much turmoil, so much suffering, so much. And yeah, I'm not talking about the suffering persecution, because those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. I'm just talking about needless suffering, needless going through stuff, needlessly being tormented by the enemy. Psalms 8:6 tells us that thou madest him to have a dominion over the works of thy hand. That's talking about mankind. Thou hast put all things under his feet. We have been given dominion in the earth as a saint of God. We've been given dominion in the earth. But Christians aren't using their dominion today. They're being dominated over instead by darkness. Also remember Luke 10, the spirits are subject to us. But that does not just happen and you do nothing. No, you must use the authority given to you in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the word of God, and enforce God's word on the denizens of evil. If there's no enforcement, there'll be no victory. That's right. If there's no enforcement of God's word, the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus against the enemy, there will be no victory in your life, and you will put up with stuff. But I say quit putting up with stuff and fight back. Stand up in your God-given authority and put evil forces under your feet where they belong. If there's no fight, there'll be no victory. And yes, it was all won on the cross, but that must daily be enforced on the evil ones, or they will take advantage of your ignorance and your lack of faith and your spiritual laziness, and they will take advantage of you because of that. Okay? And so if you're spiritually lazy today, get unlazy. Pick up that armor of God again. Pick up the word of God again. Pick up that sword of the slashing those demons. Start slashing the devil. start taking up a violent attitude toward the enemy. Be determined with a holy, righteous anger against evil and what evil is doing to you and your family, your health, your finances, your marriage, your spiritual life, and take up a determined, holy, righteous anger against that evil. This is war, saints. This is war. And we've won, and we're going to heaven, but we need to enforce the reality and the truth of our victory on those who don't want to acquiesce to that truth and victory, and that is the forces of evil. That is the forces of demons. And if we truly walk that way, then you don't have to suffer backlash from the enemy because you're maintaining a position of attack on him. You're maintaining a position of being covered by the blood of Jesus, surrounded by a hedge of protection over, you know, from the forces of evil. You need to pray it up daily. I mean, I daily pray a hedge of protection around me. I daily bind and loose and protect myself from wickedness. And you maintain your position. You don't just gain it and then quit. You know, a lot of people gain it and quit, and then they wonder why they get attacked so bad. Well, you've got to maintain the position, and you've got to still maintain it and still fight back. And, yes, you will still be attacked sometimes. Don't think that they're just going to sit back and see, let you just have free reign in the earth because, again, you're going to have persecution, and many times persecution is mistaken for things that it is not really, okay, that is something that other than persecution. We are going to suffer persecution when we live godly in Christ Jesus, okay? There's no getting away from persecution. Jesus suffered persecution. Persecution is, you know, having enemies in the earth, right? He had enemies, the scribes, the Pharisees, the lawyers. I mean, they all wanted to kill him all the time. They all were envious of him. The Bible said they were all envious of him. Many of them hated him. But, you know, that's persecution. And, of course, the devil will use other people to attack you. But sickness, disease, poverty, those are all under the curse, and those things are things that we have dominion over, right? And demons, we have dominion over them. But this is war, and so we got to recognize that we can win this, and we can walk in victory. And if you get in their face with truth and authority, they will obey you and back off. But, again, it's kind of like deliverance. When you use your spiritual weapon, you don't just do it, I bind you once and come out once and think that the battle's done. No. You just keep at it until they do back off. And it may be a while. I mean, you know, you may have to just hit them until they're just so bloody to a beat, to a bloody pulp, and they will back off. But it is a battle sometimes. I recognize, especially when you've been putting up with something for a long time. And they've had their way with you for a long time, and they've messed with your family, they've messed with your finances, they've messed with your health and a lot of other areas too, your kids. Man, it can be, to begin living this way, it can be quite a fight because they don't want to acquiesce the ground. They don't want to give up the ground. They don't want to acquiesce to the will of you and God. They want their will to continue to be enforced on you. So, yeah, you just don't quit. Amen? You don't quit. And you don't let up on them. And I realize that we have to sleep sometime, but when you're sleeping, station the angels around you. They'll stand guard while you sleep. All right? They will. Let's read it. 2 Corinthians 10, let's read another scripture. Verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Again, this is spiritual weapons with spiritual warfare. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. Remember, our weapons are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringeth into captivity every thought. Bringing into captivity every thought. Did you notice that? You got to bring every thought into captivity. Okay? You bring every thought that comes in your brain into captivity to the obedience of Christ, or in other words, in the obedience to the Word of God, that those thoughts will be submitted to the Word of God. They have to be cast down, of course, if they are not submitted to the Word of God. We have to rebuke them and cast them down, spit them out, and get rid of them. Okay, but these are spiritual weapons because the enemy is a spirit being. He's not an elephant. If he was an elephant, we'd use an elephant rifle, right? If he was an elephant, to blow him away. But he's not an elephant, and he's not a communist army. We would use an army of machine guns than soldiers if he was a communist army, right? So, but he's a spiritual being, and he can't be taken out with physical weapons. They have to be spiritual weapons, and they are mighty through God to the pulling down of these strongholds. And we'll look at these strongholds in a minute, a little more detail. Hey, we have the knowledge of Jesus' finished work on the cross and his resurrection. We have that knowledge. We must embrace that knowledge. But the knowledge is continually being assaulted by the enemy. We have the knowledge, but it's assaulted all the time. So what is this? Verse 4, it talks of stronghold. That Greek word is archeroma, and that's a fortress made firm in our lives. So those strongholds, they're fortresses that have been made firm in our lives that we must pull them down and take that firmness away. We must not let them be firm fortresses in our life, things that are made firm, demon strongholds, demon attachments that they're attached to our lives and made firm in our lives. Imaginations, that's logismos in the Greek, and it's reasonings. Oh, my, reasoning. How much time do you spend reasoning away in your emotions and your mind? Number one, well, God can't help me. You think, well, how, God can't help me because of this, because of that, and because of that. That's a reasoning. Or number two, look how strong the devil is. That's a reasoning. Your reasoning, it seems that he's so strong. Number three, oh, but look at your circumstances and situation. Again, more reasoning. Imagination, just reasoning and reasoning and reasoning. Oh, but my circumstances are different than yours. Or my situation is different than yours. No, 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 no. Number four, but why? You've always been that way. You've always been that way. Why, how could anything change? We've always been this way. I've always been this way. See, that's, again, reasoning, reasoning, reasoning. It will never change. Oh, there again. It will never change. Reasoning, it just can't, doesn't look like it'll ever change. That's ridiculous. Something's ridiculous. Number six, is that ridiculous? You reason it out. It's ridiculous for man to walk on water. It's ridiculous for things to spit on an eye that is blind and put dirt together and rub it on the eye and then be seen. That's ridiculous, right? It doesn't make sense. That's reasoning. And notice the word exalteth it used here, expiro in the Greek, expiro, and it means to lift up, to be lift up with pride. See, Satan and you both have to battle pride. Satan is attacking with pride, and you have to battle pride. So, okay? So, yeah, and there's a lifting up. These things are lifted up, and the pride of man will embrace these things because they're coming from pride, and because of the pride that all people have within them, the pride of man quickly embraces. They're exalted, and they're lifted up with that pride. You get a revelation from God that God has whipped the devil, and immediately the demons or the devil blocks or lifts up themselves too in front of you with pride, and they block or they steal that revelation, knowledge of God from you. For instance, by his stripes I was healed, or by his stripes I am healed. Okay? Immediately the devil throws this high thing, his reasoning, his stronghold against you. You sure feel bad. Why, you even look bad. Look at you, you miserable wretch, you. You look at yourself in the mirror, you say, you're right, I don't feel good, I don't look good. Just look at me, I don't feel good, I need a doctor, I need a pill. You start getting in alignment with that thing that rose up, that reasoning, that stronghold, that high thing that just rose up in front of you. They need to call the hearse for me, I'm dying. You'll never get well. You'll never get well with that kind of thing going on. See? You're not going to get well when you look at things through these strongholds and through the views that Satan and his devil placed there for you. See, the devil never will tell you something contrary to something unless it's true. Okay? In other words, if it's true that by his stripes we were healed, then why, if it weren't true, why would the devil fight us so hard in that area and tell you, well, no, you're not healed. Look at you. You're so sick, Why would he do that? Why would he do that if if it wasn't true already? See, he never tells the lost sinner, you're not saved. No, he does. They are saved. In fact, he'd like them to think they're all going to go to heaven. That's right. He wants them to think that's what Hollywood presents. Oh, everybody goes to heaven. All dogs go to heaven. All people go to heaven. That's the propaganda machine of Satan. Okay? And he tells the believer, oh, my, you've committed the unpardonable sin. You've committed blasphemy. You're not saved. God's mad at you. On and on and on. See, because you really are saved, that's why he tells you those things all the time. High things, reasoning, exalting against what you know is true, and to get you to where you don't know anymore. You're not sure if it's true. You're not sure if you're saved. You're not sure if Jesus is loving you. You're not sure because these high things have been rising up there and they built a fortress in there. Doubts come when you believe God's truth. Okay? See, he never tells you when you're believing for money to pay your bills or whatever, you'll get all you need. See, Satan won't tell you that. You'll get all you need. No, he says, oh, that prosperity message is of the devil. That God isn't going to bless you. God is, and we know that, yeah, a lot of what goes on in Christianity is of the devil, and a lot of the prosperity message is of the devil. I agree. But nevertheless, if God has promised that he will meet all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, then we have something to stand on that our bills are going to get paid. We have something to stand on that God is going to bless us, all right? Because he's going to provide all of our needs. And so, yeah, much of what that which is taught as prosperity is not right. I agree. And yet the word teaches blessings. I don't teach a poverty message. I'm sure not going to teach a poverty message. And I'm not going to take a poverty curse. And I'm not going to take a vow of poverty. That would be to curse myself. Isn't that the Catholic group, certain Catholic group, yet the Vatican is full of gold, and yet certain Catholic groups have been deceived into taking a vow of poverty. That doesn't even make sense because they love their money, all right? And, of course, the love of money is the root of all evil, so no wonder there's so much evil going on there, right? But that's another story. But no, I don't preach a poverty gospel. God never called us to a poverty gospel. He says he's the God of more than enough. He's the God of abundant life, right? He said, I'm come that you might have life, John 10:10, and that you might have it more abundantly. And the thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. So God is wanting to bless you, saints. He's wanting you blessed. Abundant life, abundant blessing. But this stuff, well, I have 500 people out there who are going to supposed to send in $1,000 each, and then you'll have every bill paid in a week. Well, that stuff is nothing but manipulation, and demons are in that, and that is not God. I don't believe in that. That's that prosperity, extreme prosperity method. I don't believe that, okay? I think it's manipulation. That's wrong. That sort of thing is a ministry that is not operating correctly, okay? It's a way of raising money that is not right. I say if a ministry needs money for a project or a purpose of God, ask for it. Don't manipulate and promise a cross or a prayer cloth claiming that some big miracle will come to you if you give. But truly, the Bible does say that if we give to Jesus, he will bless us. And that's something we need to know and we need to believe in our lives because the Word teaches that. But people have twisted the word and twisted things where money is concerned. And, of course, Luke 6:38 says, given it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And, of course, over in Malachi, we could go read about the tithe. It is so true. Malachi 3:10, it said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, and there may be meat in my house. And prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. The only place he says that he will rebuke the devourer. All right? For your sake. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast fruit before its time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. So again, we're promised blessing. Proverbs 3:9-10, another powerful scripture that says that if we will bring him in the first fruits of our increase, meaning if we have, go out and somehow we get $10, then the first fruit would be the first dollar off the top, right? It says, honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase. And what's the result of that? So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So God clearly speaks blessing to his people. And in many, many more places in the Word of God, I just gave you three samples there from the Word. But we don't give to get. We give out of obedience and love for the Lord. And we give to be a blessing. In fact, we get blessed to be a blessing as well. We are blessed to be a blessing, not to just act like we're some rich superstar or something. That's not why we get blessed. We get blessed to be a blessing so we can give and be a blessing to other people. And so, yes, this area is abused and misunderstood. And some criticize giving and tithing because they're selfish and stingy and wouldn't give anyway. Right? Some people are just stingy people, and they want to hoard all their money for themselves. And so, as an excuse, they just criticize everything about giving money to the church or to God or to Jesus and giving their tithe offering. They criticize anything to do that. Other people do it out of ignorance because they heard somebody else do it. You know, you hear one bird squawk something, then the next bird is going to squawk the same thing like a parrot. You know, they copy what they hear. And a lot of people out there doing that today, and that is one of the big problems in the church, that people are just copying everything they hear today. Somebody sees that, oh, there's going to be a secret rapture, so I say there's a secret rapture too, and so-and-so hears it again, oh, I say it too, oh my, yes, any moment, secret rapture coming, and they all start parroting the same thing. Not really knowing what the Word of God says, that the Bible doesn't teach a secret rapture. It teaches the last trumpet, the last at the second coming of Christ, when God will come in the clouds of glory, and every eye shall see Him. Okay, so it doesn't teach that, but yet the people are parroting what they heard some other preacher like Perry Stone say. You know, they have to always pass push that rapture. But anyway. People's money, to many people, is their idol. So no wonder it's such a expressive subject when it comes up. They get all going about it. True biblical blessings that God does bless believers and the givers with. The fact of the matter is that those who tithe and give to the Lord will be blessed by the Lord. That's just no getting around that. It's been proven in my own life, and I've watched it take place in others as well. He is faithful to meet all our needs according to His riches and glory. And if you're not being blessed, number one, you're not a tither. Or number two, you have demons blocking and stopping your blessing. Or number three, you simply don't believe God. You have a bunch of unbelief in there. Or number four, as Paul said, I've learned to abase and abound. You could be in a season where you are abasing. But things will change if you stay faithful and continue to keep Jesus first, give to Him your tithes, and not worrying about your present circumstances, because we live by faith, not by sight. Amen? We live by faith. So how do I keep what I've gained? Well, it's simple, but it's not easy. See, the fire is burning strong in you, but Satan wants to tone it down or put it out. Keep it burning strong, saints. Keep it burning strong. Do whatever is necessary to keep it burning strong. Because I know the enemy wants to steal that fire and keep it weak in you, smother it out if you can. Luke 16:16 says, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it. They press into it. Okay? Let's go read another one along these lines. Matthew 11:12. Matthew 11:12. Says here, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. The kingdom of heaven suffered violence. Okay, notice one talks the kingdom of heaven, one talks the kingdom of God. So we cover both of them here. And so we see here the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of heaven? Definition, kingdom of heaven, epheraneos in the Greek, what pertains to or what is in heaven. The present position of believers in the kingdom of heaven, where they possess every spiritual blessing. That's the kingdom of heaven. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, remember? And we have all things that pertain to life and godliness. All things, all spiritual blessings are ours right now. Right? Okay, now. So let's read Matthew 6 now. Let's go read another one here. Along with this here, Matthew 6:10, and I'm using a lot of scriptures tonight, so get your roller skates on, because, man, you got to flow through this Bible fast, all right? You got to find these things. If you're looking on with me, if not, fine, you look them up later or just listen. Matthew 6:10, but it sure helps when you look them up and read them yourself. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we know that scripture, right? Why do you think we're instructed to pray that way? to demand or bring the kingdom of heaven into force here against the enemy, to possess the kingdom now by force. All right, who stands in the way of you having the things of the kingdom of God? Well, the devil and his host and the evil ones out there. So we need to take them and use our spiritual weapon to get them by force. Notice it says, again, in Luke 16:16, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it. That word is biazo in the Greek, to press violently or force one's way into, forceful endeavor. In other words, take what is yours by force. The devil won't just hand it to you on some silver gold platter and just hand it over there to you. Okay? You need to force him to get out of the way, and you must take what is yours, because he is blocking you from taking the things out of the third heaven and bringing them into the manifestation right now. So into the realm of the natural realm. Okay? And we talk the kingdom of heaven. So where is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is wherever his rule and finished work is acknowledged and declared. And, of course, the sphere of God's rule is the kingdom of God, which can be and should be right here inside of you, because the Bible says it also is within you. And so it should be wherever you possess the land spiritually, then it will manifest outwardly from within. Right? So is your land possessed spiritually within yet? Are you casting the demons out of your life? Are you getting delivered? Are you taking back the land and enforcing the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven into your own life? Everything you receive from God is first received spiritually or in the spirit realm, from the spirit realm, by faith, before you ever see it physically or naturally. You need to know that. All right? And we can know, though, that the kingdom of God is here. How do we know that the kingdom of God is here? Well, we know through seeing deliverance take place. The Bible clearly tells us in Luke 11:20. So let's read it. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But verse 20, I've read the wrong verse. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. Okay, so deliverance taking place was proof that the kingdom of God had come upon them and was in full manifestation or in manifestation, maybe not full, but in manifestation at that time. And so deliverance is a proof that the kingdom of God is in the people and has shown up, and deliverance is proof that the kingdom of God is in manifestation, right? So I know that it manifests other ways as well, but Jesus specifically mentions deliverance is the kingdom of God showing up upon us and among us. So how important do you think deliverance is? If it is a manifestation of the kingdom of God that Jesus thought was important enough to mention, then there must be a whole lot to that of showing that the kingdom of God is in manifestation when deliverance is taking place in a church. So those who downplay or reject deliverance altogether deny a major part of the kingdom of God being in manifestation in their midst. All right? So if a church rejects it or a denomination rejects it, they are rejecting a very, very important part of the kingdom of God and not allowing it to fully manifest in their midst. And that is a dangerous thing to do, I would say. Okay? That is a dangerous thing to do. I would say it's a serious matter to deny it, because it's a manifestation of the kingdom. And so to keep what you've gained, you must learn to maintain it by faith. Over and over, the Word of God says, faith, the just shall live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith. Thus, faith pleases God. And we must learn to fight off the thousands upon millions of demon spirits out there of unbelief in the unbelief family. And the unbelief family is very popular right now. They are certainly winning the popularity contest in the Church of America and much of the world right now. All right? Unbelief is an epidemic today in the American church. People don't believe God anymore. People don't trust God anymore, okay? They are not able to depend on God anymore. Something is wrong, saints of God. something is seriously in error today, because we reject and don't walk in faith because it is so hard, we say, to believe. And so I've heard it over and over. Oh, I can't believe. I have a hard time believing that. And blah, blah, blah. And you just undo faith with your mouth so much of the time. And this, for most, will be a lifelong battle, okay, to fight off these thousands upon millions of spirits of unbelief. And for most of us, it will be a lifelong battle. This is a very aggressive attack area of satanic forces, for they don't want you to believe God. Because they know if you believe the Word of God and you believe Jesus, they will have to bow and obey and suffer defeat, because things of the kingdom of heaven will come into manifestation in their kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, and bind them and defeat them and stop them, and you will have heaven in earth. You will have a manifestation of heaven over your life, and you will see the kingdom of God in manifestation in great measure. And they hate that. They don't want that. So no wonder there's so much unbelief, because without faith, there's nothing much going to happen. Remember, Jesus tried to do a bunch of miracles and mighty work, but he couldn't because there was so much unbelief. He said he could do very few things there because of their unbelief. And remember when the disciple and Peter was sinking, he upbraided all of them for their unbelief. When Peter went and walked on water and then he took his eyes off Jesus, he sank. Well, he went back to the boat and upbraided them all, corrected them all, spoke to them all about their unbelief. Because even the disciples who had Jesus right there with them in the physical manifestation, they didn't believe. They had trouble with unbelief. So is it any wonder you have trouble with unbelief? You don't have Jesus walking right there in the flesh with you, do you? No, you got to believe in what you can't see, can't feel, can't touch, can't taste. And you got to believe, but blessed is he who has not seen and believes, right? That's what he told Thomas when Thomas said, I got to feel it, got to taste it, got to touch it, right? Put my fingers in those wounds and see it with my eyes. Hey, this is war against faith today. This is war against your faith. To every man has been dealt the measure of faith, and yet faith is not working in their life. And see, this is a great area of battles. Many great battles are fought in the spirit and in the mind here. And so the mind doesn't believe well, okay? Yeah, I'm going to tell you that about the mind. The mind doesn't believe well because the mind wasn't meant to believe with. That's why the Word says we're to believe in our heart, not our head, not our mind. We believe in our heart. If we believe in our heart, we'll speak to that mountain, we'll command it to be picked up and cast into the sea. We'll say it, we'll believe it in our heart and speak it with our mouth, it will happen. That mountain of sickness, that mountain of demon devils that you have in you, attached to you in your soulish realm, in your body realm, it can't get in your heart, your spirit, where Jesus lives. Thus, a Christian cannot be fully possessed by devils. Only the world and the lost ones can be fully possessed by devils. Because you are certainly under the influence of many devils. We all have been under the influence of many devils. And some are under the influence of more than others. But the mind doesn't believe well. When you believe in our heart, our spirit, our being, central control center, the core of our being, is where we must believe and learn to believe God and trust fully in him and his word, saints of God. Okay? This war against true biblical faith will not grow less intensive in these last days. Believe me, it's not going to grow less intense. It's going to grow more intensive. Okay? It's going to grow more intensive as the dark ones are determined to try to keep God's people from receiving from God his promises that he's promised us, to try to keep you from receiving those things. This is an intense battle. And it's not going to get any easier as we go into the dark time, and it doesn't get easier when you get older. You still got to fight the fight no matter what your age is. You still got to rebuke those unbelieving demons and do war against them. Resist them. And they will flee from you, and you'll be able to believe God. Now, we may not see the fullness of the kingdom of God and of heaven now in the natural, but we will and we can sure be walking in and receiving a lot more of it than we have been. And so to keep the land gained, remember Luke 19. Let's go over there, read it. Luke 19, verses 12 and 13. Luke 19, verse 12 and 13. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy until I come. So what did he do? He'd been given some pounds. And I don't mean weight on your body either. I mean pounds, talents, gifts, provisions, supply. You take that provision, that promise of God, that provision from heaven, and you occupy the land. You take it violently if necessary. You take it by force. You occupy your land. You resist the devil and he will flee. You cast those demons out that are squatters in your land, squatters in the promised land. You take it back. You fight for it. You gain your marriage back. You take your health back. You take your family back. You stand and fight till you win. You believe God where others are all doubting and fearing. You believe. You stand in faith. How? We study the word until we get revelation knowledge of the truth. That's one way. And then number two, you act on that revelation knowledge, that rhema word from heaven in faith, that revelation from heaven, that knowledge that's been revealed by the Holy Spirit from the Word of God as you studied it. You prayed and you hear the Word of God for you and how you can go and possess that land. You see the strategy of the Word that by quickened by the Holy Spirit, you go in there, possess that land. Number four, you stay in fellowship with other believers. If you can in a good local church or in a group at home or whatever it is, you have somehow you've got to stay in fellowship with other believers. Okay, you stay where the pastures are green and rich, and you're being fed good, rich food from heaven, rich spiritual food that quickens you and makes you alive. And you sure won't get that in all pastures out there. Some of them are dried up and brown and rotting and filthy, and some of them just are plastic and look green, but they're not real. They're not green. They're not feeding you anything. They're just feeding it more pablum and just feeding people who have itching ears to hear what they want to hear so they don't really have to fight the fight. They don't have to stand in faith. They don't have to move ahead in God. And then, so you look for that which is rich and green in God and eat in that pasture and feed on that as you grow and grow and grow and mature and fight and fight and fight and win and win and win and believe and believe and believe. And then, excuse me, swallow them. And then you continue. You don't back up. You don't back up. So many are backing up today. So many are not continuing. And I tell you, I see it all the time, and I don't like what I see. But we got to continue. We cannot let things slip at any time. Like it says in Hebrews 2:1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip or we should fall away from the things which we know to be the truth. Amen. It's a critical time we're living in, saints of God. We have got to stay strong. We cannot slip. We cannot let them slip. You know, let us keep what we have gained and get more. Take what the enemy has stolen from us. Because to him who has shall be more given, the Bible says. And we've been given a lot. And be aware of what you have. Amen. And then you walk in what you have. And be bold with what you've got. Are you bold with what you've got? Be bold with what you've got. Quit having pity parties. Quit declaring how pitiful and pathetic you think you are. Stop that. Gideon did that, and God said, you stop that. You're a mighty man of valor. And he just didn't want to believe it. And then he finally went and snuck over to the enemy's camp, and they were saying Gideon was a great man of valor. And they couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe it, but he finally got convinced that God knew what he was talking about. When are you going to get convinced that God knows what he's talking about when he talks about you and how blessed you are? And who you are in him. See, God will say over each of you his plan and his view of you in the Spirit. And that is that which he intends you to become and be. Just because it's spoken in the Spirit, though, doesn't mean you'll actually become what he actually has declared you to be. It means that you can become that. And it means that that's what he intends for you to be. But how many know that not everybody out there becomes what God intends them to be? Well, you know it, and you see it all the time. You see people who have been called the great things who actually live in little things or nothing at all because they don't become what God called them to be. Gideon could have not been that man of valor. He could have said, no way, I am nothing, and I'll never be nothing, and he could have stayed that way. But no, he stepped out in what? Faith. And he did the impossible through God. And you can step out in faith and do the impossible through God, too. But see, what do we usually declare about ourselves? Well, number one, we declare what our dumb emotions tell us. And number two, we declare what dumb demons tell us that we are and who they tell us that we are. And these are both out of alignment with God's word. In fact, I would call them both disobedience to the word of God. Amen? And if his word declares us as mighty, then we need to declare ourselves as mighty as well. If we're not doing it, then we're not in alignment with God. And if we're not in alignment with God, then we're aligning with something else. And if it isn't aligned with the Spirit of God, then it's aligned with something that isn't the Spirit of God. And I don't like what isn't the Spirit of God. Amen? Everything we say needs to boldly line up with what God says about us and of what he says we are. And if it doesn't, we're falling into the devil trap, and our language is not the language of the kingdom of heaven and of God, but the language of the kingdom of darkness. And so how many people today in the church are speaking like the kingdom of darkness when they ought to be speaking like the kingdom that they're of? Too many, I'll tell you that. Too many. Many of you need a language change. You speak yourselves right into the devil's trap that he's laid there, the devil's snare. Demons are waiting in line to get into you, too. If you open the door, they're waiting in line to get in. When it doesn't line up with the word of God, it is the devil trap, and you self-trap yourself quite frequently because of your language and your confessions that you speak over yourself. Stop that, saint. Stop that. Stop that. Stop that. Stop that. Stop saying the wrong thing over you. And speak the right thing. What's the right thing? It's the God thing. The right thing is the word thing. Whatever the word says, that's what you ought to speak over yourself. Whatever the word of the new covenant, I don't say speak everything under the old covenant because we're not living under the old covenant. But what the new covenant declares you to be, that's what you need to be speaking over yourself. I'm more than a conqueror through him that loves me. And you go around whining and crying and just carrying on all the time like so many Christians do and think it's okay. It's not okay. Cursing yourself. You are snaring yourself. Go around whining all the time, griping all the time that you don't have this, don't have that, and can't do this, can't do that. You are speaking your very future into existence by your negative words and allowing demons to take up position in your life because you are having a pity party or you are having a negative party. Speaking negative, speaking death. When you speak death, what do you think you're going to reap? Death will come into your life through the form of demon spirits that you open the door to, and you will need to get deliverance for those things because you gave permission to them to come in by the words of your mouth. We need to put a guard over our mouth. Put a guard over our mouth, and it is a battle. One of the biggest battles you will ever fight will be the battle that you fight for your mouth and what comes out of it. I'm telling you, going to be a big one, and you fight it every day. I fight it every day. I resist the thoughts that come out, try to come out of my mouth. I resist the thoughts that Satan plans in my mind. And you must do the same thing. Well, they're not going to make it to heaven. You're not going to make it to heaven. Blah, blah, blah. See, all these negative things. You're going to get that disease. You're going to have cancer. You're not going to make it. You're going to fail. You're going to just be a mess all your life and blah, 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 blah. And you hear it, you hear it, you hear it, and if you're not careful, you get in agreement with it. And you start agreeing with the demons. Start agreeing with the temptation to, and then that, when you agree with it, you've given place to it. That's right. When you agree with the temptation, you've given place to the temptation, and therefore are in sin, right? And you need to repent, all right? By the way, to not move forward is to move backward. You can't just stand still for long in God's kingdom. You've got to be moving forward from faith to faith, from glory to glory, right? That's it. We're moving ahead. I know there's a time to be still and know that I am God, but that's not what we're talking about. You're moving ahead when you're being still and you're knowing that he is God. You understand the difference here? See? when you are being still and you know that He is God, you are just listening. You are in the Spirit. You're knowing Him, and you're hearing what God is saying to you, and that's moving ahead. Okay? But if you're just not even studying your word, you're not praying, you're not seeking God, you don't pray very often, then you are moving backward. You're not moving forward. Okay? And so that's how serious it is. So be bold, be full of faith. In other words, be faithful. In other words, full of faith, right? Faithful, and move forward. Examine yourself to see if you're in the faith or if you're in the unbelief. Which one are you in today? I'm going to close with this scripture, 2 Corinthians 13:5. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Let's go and read it for those who are looking on in the Bible. If not, I will read it to you. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Are you in the faith? Prove your own selves. What is the faith? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is everything that God has promised us. Okay? Are you in that faith? Are you partaking of the things that faith receives? Are you in the faith or are you not in the faith? Are you in believing or are you not in believing? Prove your own self. Know ye not your own selves? How that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate? Are you full of the faith? Are you walking in the faith? If Jesus is in you, and if He's leading you, or is He not in you and leading you? Or are you manifesting some spirit of unbelief family? Some spirit of the unbelief family? Is that who's living and manifesting in your life right now? Some spirit in the unbelief family? It could be. Have you subtly been taken from a place of faith and believing to a place where demons dictate your thinking and your talking and your way of living? Is Jesus in you, leading you, or are you manifesting something else? You got to decide. Examine yourself to see if you're in the faith or if you're in the unbelief. Amen? So, have you been subtly taken from that place of faith to where demons are dictating your thinking, your talking? Put a guard over your mouth. Put a guard over your mind, lest you be overcome and overrun by demons who desire your demise. And having done all, stand and keep what you got, and gain and take more. Amen? You got to gain the land, take the land. Amen. And keeping what you have gained is a key to a life of victory over the enemy. So learn to keep what you got. Get what you can from God, what He has for you, and then keep what you get. Right? Don't let the devil steal it from you. Some of you, you had a whole lot when you first born again. But right now, where is it? Where is the testifying of it? Do you see the manifestation of it now? You had so much when you were a new Christian. What happened to you? Why are you not walking that way anymore? You used to believe God at the drop of a hat. I mean, anything. You'd believe God. What happened? Why you don't believe now? What happened to that faith? What happened to that faith walk you once walked in? Where is that at? Come on, repent. Let's get this thing back on the road again. Let's get back to the place where we were with God. Father God, we cry out to You. We repent. Jesus, forgive us for the unbelief. Forgive us for walking in doubt and fear and self-pity and all these demons of darkness that have tried to run in and take over. Father, we repent for that. We cry out. We repent. Jesus, wash us in Your blood. Restore the joy of Your salvation. Restore a right standing within us again, Lord, we pray today, Father, that You restore that which we have lost to the enemy through the war that where He has prevailed against us, Lord. Right now, Lord, we repent for that and we take back what the devil stole. Take back what he stole from us. Amen? Can you do that right now? Repent and just confess now and just say, I take back what you've stolen and I'm going to walk out of this now and I'm not going to live in it any longer. I rebuke you, devil. I'm coming out of this right now. I'm going to walk in the grace and the abundant supply of my King. Hallelujah. Can you praise God tonight? That's the word of the Lord for today. All right, we're going. This is Pastor John Kyle. We're going to take a little break here and then come back. I'm going to take phone calls for a little bit, pray with people, do a deliverance on the phone if people want. And then we're going to do a mass deliverance and anything else the Lord leads. So that's where we're at right now. So this is Pastor John Kyle, theoasisplace.org. You could email me at theoasis1@localnet.com. If you'd like to write to me, this the mailing address is The Oasis Church or Pastor John Kyle, P.O. Box 50162, P.O. Box 50162, Billings, Montana, 59105. All right, so yes, after this little break here, you call in at 657-383-0134. All right, if I see a new call in the quay there, I will answer it. If not, I will talk some more, then go into the deliverance time. All right, y'all ready? Let's go ahead and let's take a little bit of a break here. Let's go for a 4-minute break right now as we have a song. And then take a little break here. Amen. Praise God.
Glory.
check on that music because I don't know. It doesn't sound so clear on my end on those particular two songs as some of the other songs that I do have here. But anyway, it's Pastor John Kyle. Good to be back with you, and we're going to continue on here. If there's anybody that would like to call in and receive prayer tonight, now is your time to do so. It's 657-383-0134. 657-383-01. So if you like prayer, call in now, and we will take that call. All right? If not, we will continue to share with you some things that are on my heart here tonight as we have had a word that was, I believe, anointed by God and has spoken to certain people's heart that need to hear it. And too, as well. And God is doing things in our lives that are really, so often we don't always see them. And we wonder, where is God at? Well, sometimes we don't see what God's doing. We don't see the big things that are going on in our lives. We don't recognize them. And we do sometimes need to be still and know that he is working and recognize that he's going in our lives in a mighty way. He's doing great things. Okay? And so a lot of people think, well, how can I just endure anymore? How can I take anymore? How can I go on? Well, only by the grace of God can anybody go on. And so if you're not praising God, you won't go on, most likely. It's important to let the praises of God be in your mouth and that two-edged sword be in your hand at all times. It's not something that we want to quit doing. How often did he say to rejoice in the Lord? He said, rejoice in the Lord always. Okay, well, the sound was great, so I didn't know that. I'm going to go ahead and finish this song, man, and then we'll get going here. Okay, how about we finish this song? If the sound was great, let's do it.
No, Lord.
Praise the Lord God. All right. So, yes, do have a caller here, so I'm going to go ahead and take a brother's call right now. I think it's a brother. I could be wrong there, but I think it is. Hello, brother.
Yeah. Hey, hello.
Yes, who is this?
Hey, this is Brother Joshua.
Brother who?
Brother Joshua.
Joshua? Hey, yeah. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. thank you for tonight's word. It was really such a blessing and very encouraging. It really, truly was. Praise God.
Good.
I know last week I was delivered from, when Jesus Christ delivered me from anger. I didn't realize what they were telling me, my brother, how bad anger can just fly open the doors to demonic attack, and I was completely hammered with a bunch of things, and after I was delivered from that, I literally saw in my mind, immediately as it left me, I saw like a door just slam shut. And
praise God.
Yes. And it was awesome, and I mean, I'm still getting of course, in my mind, it's always a mental in my mind, these disgusting thoughts start hitting me. And in fact, I remember the other night I was sitting there. It was a really great night. I helped out a brother, I helped out a sister, and I was praying, and I just all of a sudden this horrible thought started hitting me, and it started getting really bad. And then I saw it, like I saw something in the corner of my room darted out real quickly. It wasn't here that or it wasn't here that long, but oh my gosh!
Wow.
Like I don't know.
That's interesting. That's interesting, brother. What?
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
What?
Go ahead.
No, it's just I don't know why, Pastor Kyle. Why sometimes I see them, especially at home. I don't know if it's coming from the family that I live with right now. Whatever could be possibly when I'm being oppressed by what they're not living the way they should. I know I talked about this many times, and so I'm constantly trying to squash whatever's trying to come against me from them, and I'm buying them. And fight it as best as I can, and it gets really bad sometimes. It gets so bad at some points where literally I was being physically attacked when I was sleeping. Like my face would be like being like started being pressed on, and then it stopped, and I was just like, "Whoa!" And I'm just like, "Whoa, God, what is going on here?" Because you know I pray every night before I go to sleep, and I ask God to protect me as I sleep and slumber. Definitely, and I ask God to send down His angels, His heavenly warring angels, to surround me to protect me. So it's just like stuff like that. I don't understand. I mean, I understand. I'm pressing on. I know what God has called me to be for His will and His pleasure, and that's what I'm doing. I'm going forth and I'm fighting. And I just have my question. Let me get to this point real quickly before I don't want to hold up any more time here. I'm starting to notice, like today, my brother, I was at work. I noticed on this man's arm that it was a triangle and it had a bunch of circles and he had an eye in the middle of the triangle. And I knew right off the bat that I know exactly what that is. I know what it is. And I had a couple of them sitting there looking at my shirt that I was wearing to work. I was wearing a shirt that said, "My lifeguard walks on water." I love that shirt. And they just were commenting. And yes, it's such a change. Yes, ever since I was delivered from anger, I feel so much better. Like, I didn't realize how bad anger was, a very horrible strong man that was plaguing me, and I was set free. And,
praise the Lord.
I know, yes. And it's
that's
just,
a big
I noticed, Yes, I didn't realize, and they were telling me about that, how bad and how that door can open up to a lot of demonic attack, and it's just, I mean, the enemy has tried to throw that back at me. Certain things started happening to me, trying to make me get up and get upset and anger again, but I started to get upset because I went to create my paycheck last time, I feel fine. I feel much better than I did. But my question was, there's a lot of people that I've noticed, Pastor Kyle. I know what's happening in these end times because I know what time we're living in. I see a bunch of people that I feel that they're part of the occult. And they know, I know that we're struggling and fighting against witchcraft attacks. And it's just that now when we're fighting against this, I mean, I know my sword, I know who I am in Christ Jesus, but in some cases we have to be together with one another in order to combat it. Am I not mistaken?
Sometimes you know the Bible says that one will put 1,000, two will put 10,000. So. Certainly, the place of agreement is a place of power when you get two believers together, and three is even more powerful. So if you can get in agreement with somebody, it helps.
Amen. Amen. Okay, because I believe in the power of agreement, yes. And I just, I've noticed more and more of people, because they kind of looked at me, and they were asking me, like this one, his name was Jose, he looked at me and he goes, so you believe that? And I said, yes, I do. And they're like, you don't need to see that. And I'm like, no, I don't need to see it. I believe by faith. In that moment, I felt the presence of God. I felt the holy fire, the Holy Spirit. But I felt at the same time that this individual was just looking at me and just like mocking me at the same time. Because then what he said next was like, oh, yeah, I believe too. Mine does that too. And they were kind of looking at each other, and like, and I was like, wait a minute, yours, what? And that's just like, I know it's going to get much worse, and I know God is going to bring us, bring people together to fight against this. My question is that, when we're fighting against witchcraft and it's constant, we're being hammered and we're by ourselves. I mean, we're not by ourselves, but what do we do? Like in a case where, you know, something, it's like, wait a minute, what's going on here? Because I know that, I just know now, Pastor Kyle, when it's happening to me, I know something is witchcraft. I just know it's hitting me, and I'm like, oh, geez. And I mean, I pray in the spirit, and a lot of times, though, sometimes it just gets really overwhelming.
Well, send it back where it came from. You know, there's a lot of people out there that are involved in witchcraft today in the workplaces where people work. People are reading their horoscope, and they don't even realize how deep they're involved in witchcraft. And yet when they're doing things like that, they're going to calling psychic hotlines. They're involved in witchcraft, and they're operating in it whether they know it or not. They will send it back or send it out to the people around them, I should say.
Yes.
Just by being around them, you will feel attacked by the witchcraft in them, even though they may not be consciously aware that they're, you know, attacking you, but what's in them is attacking you, because they recognize that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, brother. They recognize that you have the power of God in you, and you're walking in the light, and they're walking in darkness, and so what's in them hates you, and you feel that attack. You feel that. You know, a lot of times you just get around certain people, and you feel witchcraft. Their conversation is nothing but witchcraft. They talk darkness. They act darkness. They live darkness.
Yes.
And so, yeah, it's a battle. Just send it back to them. Just say, I don't receive that in Jesus' name. I send it back.
Yes.
I am not receiving this, you know, when you feel that assault.
Amen.
And then people in your house, you know, just a plot of blood over your room and say, you're not coming in my room tonight. You stay out there. This is a holy ground in here. Are they yes. Christians out there, or are they just backslidden, or just carnal Christians that you live with?
My parents, they're trying, but they're not. Like, my brother, I tried talking to him, but it's he keeps saying that he's not ready to go back to church, so he's backslidden. My mother, mm-hmm. the same way. She's going to church. She's trying to, but I don't know what she prays. I pray for him, Pastor Kyle. I pray as hard as I can to God, and I don't know, because I feel like in this house a lot. I see those, like we talked about. I know I keep the things. I know they're evil. I know they're demonic. I see them, Pastor Kyle, sometimes, and I don't know why I see them, but I do, and only like I said the other day. Because I just anointed my room with oil, and I anointed myself, and then all of a sudden I was getting hit with this horrible thought, saying, asking something vile to come, you know, and I was like, oh, that's not me, and then it just started getting worse and worse and worse, and then I looked over to my right, I saw this black streak instantly leave my room real quickly, and it just disappeared, and then I felt peace immediately after that.
Very good. You won the battle then.
It's just,
there will be many battles, brother, but you just keep fighting them and resisting. You're not going to be without battles, but you can win, man. You can win and keep getting deliverance too.
Amen. I don't know if I've been having, I don't know if I need deliverance from this, but I do. I get, like, my mind, I'm always getting hit with the disgusting blasphemous thoughts and lustful thoughts. I mean, is that, because I know I was delivered from that, and I don't know, could it just the thing trying to make me slip up so they can try to come back, like, or how does that work, Pastor Kyle?
Well,
like,
see, that's a temptation from the outside, brother. Temptation from the outside. Once the demon leaves, if you got delivered from it, they're going to try to come back, and so they will plant these thoughts in your mind to try to overwhelm you and get you to just give the same habit pattern place, the same way of thinking, the same pattern that you had before the demon was cast out. And so you got to resist that, because it's a whole lot easier to resist them when they're on the outside of you than when they're still attached to the inside of you. And so recognize what they're doing is trying to work their way back into you to the same comfortable place they had in your life before. Okay? Or it could be just another spirit that's still in there that still needs to go. It could be that too.
I think so, because I know when I was being delivered last week, when I called in, oh, praise Jesus. I know it was a struggle. Like, I kept hearing this thing talk to me. I know it was telling me, you know, I have been here for a long time, and it was a struggle and a fight, but it finally left me. But I know that, like you said, in deliverance, we got to keep going back. And I know that I don't know. I don't know if I need deliverance, my brother, again, or something.
Well, we could sure do some if you like.
In Jesus' name, yes, I would love to be, yes, because
well,
if there is something
still. Well, let's deal with these two things to make sure that spirit's not there. If it is there, it's going to manifest and come out, because those two areas, you don't need to deal with that all the time. That blasphemous spirit, that spirit that you want to be blasphemous and say things, do things that are that way, we command that spirit to manifest right now. Come out of Joshua in Jesus' name. Loose him and come out of his mind right now. That spirit of blasphemy, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. That puts those awful thoughts in his brain and tells him that he's still there and all those lies. You come out of him right now. I bind you, the blood of Jesus, against you right now. Come out of him in Jesus' name. Loose him and let him go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out of there, all the way out in Jesus' name. Loose him. The blood of Jesus against those spirits right now. The spirits of lust, too. Come out. out. Any spirit of lust still in there, you come out too. In Jesus' name, go, go by the blood of Jesus. Loose him and let him go. If you're in there, you got to go. In Jesus' name, I break your hold. I bind you. You come out of there. The blood of Jesus against you right now. The blood of Jesus. Come out, 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 come out. Be weakened by the blood and come out of there. Every one of you has to go in Jesus' name. Loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go right now. Go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come out. 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 Keep coming out. Up out of there right now. Go. Go, all that lust spirit, all that unclean spirit, go. All that spirit that speaks of blasphemous thoughts into his mind, come out. Come out, 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 come out. Spirits of blasphemy, spirits of blaspheming the Holy Spirit, speaking, cursing the Holy Spirit, speaking evil of the Holy Spirit. You come out, all the way out. Go, 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 in Jesus' name. Blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus. What's happening?
Nothing. I don't know.
You're just letting them go.
Yes, my head feels funny a little bit.
Come out.
My ears,
all the way out.
Like
okay, keep coming out. All the way out. Out, 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 out. The blood of Jesus, come out of there. Loose him and let him go by the blood of Jesus right now. Go, 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 go. Come out of there right now. Loose him, let him go by the blood of Jesus. All the way out, all the way out, all the way out. That vile spirit of vileness that speaks of vile thoughts in his mind. Vile spirit, come out, 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 come out. Vile spirit, come out. Unclean spirit, go, go, go. Out, 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 out. All the way out by the blood of Jesus right now. Loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. In the name of Jesus, we break your hold over his mind. We cover his mind with the blood of Jesus. Cover his room with the blood of Jesus. Surround him with a hedge of protection right now. Go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, loose him and let him go. In Jesus' name, we break your hold. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out. You say something, brother. Keep coming out.
No,
all the way out. Praise God. Praise God. You feel some release of this?
Yeah, yes.
Praise God.
Can I ask, can I please make sure, my brother, too, if anger is still not around? I know that I was delivered from it. I know that I was tested again with a couple things that happened over the week. And I
what is anger?
Kind of got us, yeah.
Okay, anger.
I'm
not manifest. All anger is still in there. Come out. Come out. I bind that anger. He has repented for you. Now you come all the way out. All that anger, all that rage in there. Come out, 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 out. All the way out. I bind you in Jesus' name. I break your hold over him. I break your control over his life. You cannot have him now. Come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All anger, go. All anger, little anger, big anger, hidden anger, come out. Come out, deep-rooted anger, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All anger spirits that have been hiding and stayed in there, you come out, 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 out. All anger, go in Jesus' name, go, go in Jesus' name. Be weakened by the blood and come out. You've lost your house, come out of there, out, 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 out. Keep coming out. Keep coming out. Blood of Jesus is against you. All the way out. All that anger, all that rage in there. Keep coming out. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. All the way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Every bit of it. From the root. Pull you up out of there. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. How are you doing now? Feel a release from that?
Yes. Thank you. I feel much better.
All right, brother. Well,
whew,
you keep coming out of
me.
Every bit of it. Keep coming, every bit. Thank you, Jesus. All right, brother. Well, I appreciate your call tonight. I'm going to take another call here before we run out of time. God bless you, Brother Joshua.
God bless.
Bye-bye now. All right, we're going to take another call from 360 here. I see you call this second time here. Must be holding. So you on the line to talk to me tonight, 334. Or are you just listening? Hello? Who is this?
Hello.
Yeah,
this
I hear
Lisa.
You. Lisa, how you doing, Lisa?
I'm still all right, Pastor Josh.
You're still alive? Yeah, I'm doing all right.
Yes, that's awesome. That was a great word tonight.
I was just
listening, Pastor Kyle, but I would like to talk to you.
Okay.
So it's great to talk.
What's on your mind? What's on your mind? You're kind of breaking up some.
I know it. Hang on. I got to get my phone fixed. Hang on 1 second, Pastor Kyle, please.
Okay. Yeah, no problem. We'll hang on here for a second for Lisa to get her phone fixed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for every good gift.
All right. Okay. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, Pastor Kyle. Thank you. I had you on a speaker, on a Bluetooth speaker, and had to get you off of there. Okay.
Okay.
Well, I am just
I hear
so
you
happy,
better.
Pastor Kyle. Jesus is just doing some awesome things. And it's been good, and the oppression has lifted. And Alan is getting better. I can't say that he's all the way better, but he is getting better. And
all
that's
right.
Good. And the Lord answered my prayer. I got a job where I could take my boys. I don't know if you remember, but I'm a homeschool mom. So
I have
my boys
all
the time. And now I need to have a job where I could take them, and I got one. And
wow.
That's just exciting. That's really
exciting.
That
is exciting.
And
that's a praise the Lord.
Yes, I do.
Hallelujah.
I do. Yes, he is awesome. And anyway, I'm just happy about that. I'm sad about the news. Not necessarily sad, but it's just like, wow. I mean, the news from day to day. It's just
mm-hmm.
getting pretty intense, or it seems to be getting intense, but the Lord's peace is going good. I guess tonight I would just like to ask for prayer that that the whole area of the Southeast, I mean all areas in general, but just the Southeast, especially our little town, might have some awakening and some knowledge of deliverance and Jesus, for real Jesus, not just Sunday morning for 2 hours Jesus. You know.
Well, isn't that the way of the South, though? There's a lot of people in the South that go to church and think they're Christians, but they're not even Christian. They go every week. Oh, yeah, we go to church. I met one while we were gone from the South, but they go to church every week, but they don't know the Lord.
Yeah, I know. Well, you see, we have this big blessing down here in the South. There's not that many murders or crimes. Very few thefts, but it has put everybody in a sleep. I mean, it's like everybody feels safe, kind of, like they don't need the Lord. It's just another, it's strange how the devil can use. He just leaves us alone almost. He seems like he is. Everybody don't realize his presence. It's here. I think the strong
oh, yeah.
man of this area, I think the strong man of this area, I don't know how to put it in terms, but I think it's slander. I think
oh, yeah.
that's what rules this area, because I think gossip, slander, and maybe fear of gossip or slander, I think it keeps everybody's hands tied. But I just want to see it released because, you know, I don't know how much longer we have, but there's no reason to put off knowing Jesus, right? No
that's
matter
right.
how long we have. So, anyway, you know, I've been a recluse all these years, and now I'm back in the world, and I don't really know how to talk to people. You know, they tell me this, that, and the other, and I'm thinking, well, that's a family curse or something, you know. It's hard to bring it up. I just want to pray.
Well, just ask them if you can pray for them.
Yeah.
You live in Alabama? You live in Alabama?
Yes,
that's
uh-huh.
what I thought, yeah, Alabama. I was in South Carolina while I was gone. That's one of the places I was in before I was out of country. But, yeah, so I, that town I was in was full of masonry everywhere. I mean, and there was not a good – it's just loaded with signs of masonry everywhere you went. And not a stronghold of darkness in the South. I love the South and being from the South, too. So, but definitely gossip
too.
Is big. And they
You're
need
right.
Jesus just as much.
I know. You know, I read up on the Masonic sort of, I don't know, their thoughts and beliefs. They kind of try to become a Jesus. You know, their whole method is, or their whole goal is to help. You know, it's sad, but it's funny. The person I'm working for is actually a high-level Mason in the town.
Wow.
What do you think of that?
I think you can pray for him. Maybe God placed you there to be a witness. Who knows? So just to intercede for him and walk around that place and cover with the blood and see what God will do.
I sure do, Pastor Kyle. I am so happy that the Lord has taught me things, you know, right before I need them. And I think of that verse that says, the preparations of the heart of man are of God, you know, and maybe of girls too, or women.
Yeah. It means both girls and guys, yeah. That's right.
Right. I guess they need to, I've been praying against the curse of poison oak because my job is a yard work job. Anyway, okay, Pastor Kyle, I'm ready to pray. And as far as if you would, please, my situation ain't listening to me. I'm speaking to it, but it's not really listening. And I think, you know, I get angry sometimes, and it's not good. You know, it's not because the anger of man work is not the righteousness of God, you know. And
that's right.
I guess it has to do with pride. I guess pride first and anger. It's not good, but okay, can we? Pride, anger, and maybe
no, that's
content.
About all we'll have time for. Yeah, because we have about 7 minutes left here. But we just come against that spirit of anger right now and command that anger to loose my sister Lisa and come out of her in Jesus' name. Come out, anger. I bind you. I break your power over her and her mind. Come out in Jesus' name. All that anger, come out of her right now. Manifest. Go in the name of Jesus. We rebuke that anger. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Be weakened by the blood, and come out of there all the way out. Go, 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 go. Come out, all anger. We rebuke that anger. We rebuke you. That pride you go through in Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Both of you have to go. I break your hold. I break your power. You come out in Jesus' name. Loose her, let her go all the way out. All anger. Go, 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 go. Anger at husband. Anger at others. Come out. Anger at people in the family. Anger at Christians. Come out. All anger. Anger at herself. All anger. Go, 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 go. Go, 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 come out, 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 come up out of there all the way out. The Lord rebuke you. Come out in Jesus' name. All anger has to go by the blood of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus right now. Listen, let her go. Every bit of it. Go, go, move, 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 move. Keep moving in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, loose her, let her go all the way out. All the way out by the blood of Jesus, all that pride, you come out. I rebuke the spirit of pride. Be weakened by the blood and come out, pride. Come out, spiritual pride, religious pride, southern pride, all pride, come out. Come out, racial pride, come out, 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 come out. Come out of there all the way out. In Jesus' name, go by the blood of Jesus, all pride. Loose her and anyone else that's listening, come out, all pride, go, 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 by the blood of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out, Jesus' name, all that pride, all that pride. We repent for pride, we renounce pride, we thank you that the blood cleanses us from the sin of pride. Now come out, pride, all the way out, in Jesus' name, the Lord rebuke pride, in Jesus' name. By the blood of Jesus, every bit of that pride, go, 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 move, 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 move. In Jesus' name, Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. All shyness, you come out. Spirit of shyness, try to keep her shy from sharing her faith at the right time with the right person, you come out too. All shyness, go, 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 by the blood of Jesus. We rebuke this spirit of shyness and timidity from anybody listening, as well as Sister Lisa. Go. All shyness, timidity, come out. Come out by the blood of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus. Right now, you have to go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, by the blood of Jesus, go, go, move, 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 move. For God's not giving us shyness, but boldness, boldness, holy boldness, in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. How are you doing, sister? Keep coming out.
It went.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, I just ask you to bless Lisa at her new job and give her favor, Lord. Favor with the boss, favor with everybody there, Father, and Lord, be able to let her be able to speak a word in due season, Lord, to the people who need to hear it, in Jesus' name. So, sister, thank you for calling in, and let's talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
All right, that was Sister Lisa from Alabama. We appreciate her, love her. She's a blessing. And, yeah, we're running out of time again. I didn't get to do mass deliverance, but hopefully you got in on some of the deliverance. We prayed for other people. You know, you get deliverance, too, when we're casting them out of people that do call in. So, yes, this is Pastor John Kyle. Deliverance Today is the name of the broadcast, theoasisplace.org is the website. You can email me at theoasis1@localnet.com. Write to me, if you like, and the address there for writing. It's Pastor John Kyle or the Oasis Church at P.O. Box 50162. That's Billings, Montana, 59105. That's Billings, Montana, 59105. I love all of y'all that's listening tonight. Appreciate y'all listening and those who listen by later through the download. We love you, too, and thank you. And no, don't worry about the time. Every one of you is important. I don't mind spending time with anybody, okay, that wants help. And that is encouraged in the Lord and wants to be delivered. So I appreciate all of you, and don't feel bad about using the time. But that time is yours that I'm talking to you. And so appreciate you, and we'll see you back next week. And we will eventually do a program on Sunday nights too, but right now it's just Friday nights. But certainly we'll do one later. That'll probably be a pre-recorded, but still we'll do one so that people can hear the word on Sunday nights, and that'll be probably a couple months or a month. Depends on when I get it ready to go. But, yes, we'll see you back next Friday night. And appreciate you all. Let's close out with a song, Holy Fire, because we need the fire, God, to praise God. Love you. Thank you.
from earth below, singing songs, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, don't delay. Return and steal your bride away. Our hearts are burning with desire, with love the flame of holy fire. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, don't delay. Return and steal your bride away. Our hearts are burning with desire, with love the flame of holy fire. We're waiting, Lord, our eyes are fixed on you. We're watching, Lord, we know you're coming.
what comes, I will not run, I will take courage and conquer every worry in my life. Did I fail? My enemy lies, telling me I'm not gonna make it. He wants me to think that I'm weak and I'm gonna fall. God is my shield and I know he'll never forsake me. For faithful is the Lord of my salvation who calls. Nothing can separate me from the love I find in Christ. I am secure in standing firmly in his strength, and it is mine. Thanks be to God who always leads me into his triumph, and I'm more than a conqueror. In the Lord I'm a conqueror. I'm wearing a smile, child born of the Spirit, hidden in Christ, living in heaven above. No demon of hell, Satan himself, cannot get near me. I'm resting in the grace of God that keeps me in his love. Nothing can separate me from the love I find in Christ. Secure in Jesus, standing firmly in his strength, and in his might. Thanks be to God who always leads me into his triumph, and I'm more than a conqueror. In the Lord I'm a always leads me.